Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Why do members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have this infatuation with the dead? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to discuss this topic is my colleague, Eric Johnson. According to the Doctrine and Covenants, section 128, verse 17, it states that the most glorious of all subjects belonging to the everlasting gospel is baptism for the dead. Now, there happens to be a lot of confusion, even within Mormon circles, about what baptism for the dead is supposed to do and for whom is it supposed to have any kind of effect. But one thing for sure, this is a teaching of the LDS Church that is very important to all Latter-day Saints. In fact, Joseph Smith said, and this can be found in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 193, it says that those saints who neglect it in behalf of their deceased relatives do it at the peril of their own salvation. In other words, it is imperative that members of the LDS Church participate in performing baptisms by proxy or vicarious baptisms on behalf of their dead relatives. Joseph Smith also said, and this can be found on page 356 of Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, the greatest responsibility in this world that God has placed upon us is to seek after our dead. But what's the history of this? Where do Mormons get this? Now, the Encyclopedia of Mormonism actually has a section on this, and it kind of gives the background of what baptism for the dead is all about. Why don't you read some from that portion, Eric?
Yeah, this is volume 1, page 95, underneath Baptism for the Dead. It reads this: Baptism for the dead is the proxy performance of the ordinance of baptism for one deceased. Joseph Smith taught, if we can baptize a man in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins, it is just as much our privilege to act as an agent and be baptized for the remission of sins for and behalf of our dead kindred who have not heard the gospel or fullness of it.
We find, though, that Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Mormon Church, in his book, The Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2, page 182, makes it very clear that baptism for the dead does not automatically guarantee that the deceased is going to end up in the highest level of Mormon heaven, known as the celestial kingdom. Let me explain. In Mormonism, there are three levels of glory, the top being the celestial kingdom. In order to get into the celestial kingdom, you have to keep celestial law. If, during your mortality here on earth, you are practicing merely terrestrial law, you will be qualified to end up in the terrestrial kingdom, the second level. If you are one of the wicked of this world and you are practicing what Mormons call telestial law, you will be assigned to the telestial kingdom, or the lowest glory. If you're a son of perdition, which means that you were a Mormon who knew enough to turn away from Mormonism and fight against it, even though you knew it was true, you would become a son of perdition, and you would be cast into outer darkness. Mormon leaders have been kind of confusing as to who qualifies to be in outer darkness, because some say you have to have full knowledge, and of course nobody has full knowledge of anything, so some have said that it's doubtful that really a whole lot of people, if any, are going to end up down there, but we do know that the devil and his angels are going to be assigned to that outer darkness. According to Joseph Fielding Smith, he said, the Lord did not say that all who are dead are entitled to these blessings in the celestial kingdom. If they hear the gospel in the spirit world, but all who would have received the gospel had they been given the opportunity in this mortal life. The privilege of exaltation is not held out to those who have had the opportunity to receive Christ and obey his truth, and who have refused to do so. In other words, if you have heard about Mormonism during your mortality and you have rejected the message of what Mormons call the restored gospel, then the best that you could ever hope for in the next life is to end up in the terrestrial kingdom. You will not go to the celestial kingdom. The only ones who would go to the celestial kingdom based on being baptized by proxy are those who lived out their mortal existence never having heard about the restored gospel, according to Mormonism, but would have probably accepted it had they heard. In other words, there has to be a type of complete ignorance of Mormonism in order for a dead person to achieve celestial exaltation or godhood in the next life had they not been a member of the Mormon Church during their mortality. So basically, Eric, if Mormon missionaries really want to do people a favor, the best thing they can do is not tell anybody about Mormonism and allow everyone to go on through their mortality completely ignorant of the restored gospel and have the chance of embracing it in the next life if a Mormon was to baptize on their behalf. And so in the spirit prison, they would be ministered to by what some Mormons have called spirit missionaries who are going to tell them about the restored gospel.
I think there's a lot of confusion on this topic with many Latter-day Saints. I have talked to missionaries who have insisted that those who have rejected the gospel by having this work done for them vicariously would have the opportunity to go to the celestial. And I'm sure that's just not talked about very often in a specific way in many of the church meetings. I certainly haven't heard this talked about at conference in many years, talking about the specifics of this. And so there's a lot of innuendo and folklore that gets involved along with with the writings of these guys. But very clearly, as you just read from Joseph Fielding Smith, that you're not eligible to make it to the celestial. You're going to get the terrestrial if you have rejected it in any kind of way, which means I think anybody who lived here in America would have had some kind of opportunity with missionaries coming in their doors.
Sure.
And they're not going to listen to your advice of not coming to keep you in ignorance because they want you to know the gospel. But by giving you the gospel, it's almost bad news because now you're accountable.
Now you're accountable. Exactly. And as we've shown very clearly when we went through the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, now you're responsible and you're supposed to be doing all those things that Spencer Kimball said in his book. And of course, the constant message that was coming through on those pages is this is something that nobody can possibly do. What you brought up, though, is how you were told, and I have been told, that a person does have the opportunity to reach celestial exaltation in the next life, even if they've rejected Mormonism here. Now that, again, as you have said very correctly, that's folklore. But yet Mormons keep telling us, if you want to know what Mormons believe, ask a Mormon. Now, when that Mormon told you that you had this chance to get in the celestial, he gave you bad information.
Absolutely.
Folks, this is why we don't place a lot of credence on the beliefs of your average lay Mormon. Now, they should have an understanding of what their church teaches on these subjects, but experience has taught us that many times they don't. And they are very much involved in Mormon folklore, thinking that's what their church teaches, but that's not what the leaders have said. Let me go back to what Joseph Fielding Smith said on Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2. This is page 183. He says, "Some not eligible for vicarious salvation. There are too many people in this world who have heard the message of the gospel, who think they can continue on to the end of this mortal life, living as they please, and then accept the gospel after death, and friends will perform the ordinances that they neglect to perform for themselves, and eventually they will receive blessings in the kingdom of God. This is an error. It is the duty of men in this life to repent. Every man who hears the gospel message is under obligation to receive it. If he fails, then in the spirit world he will be called upon to receive it, but he will be denied the fullness that will come to those who in their faithfulness have been just and true, whether it be in this life or in the spirit world." He also says on the same page that the second chance, and we're going to talk about whether or not it really is a second chance, but he uses this phrase to bring out a point. He says a second chance leads to the terrestrial kingdom. Moreover, we learn that those who rejected the gospel when it was offered them in ancient times, but afterward accepted the testimony of Jesus in the spirit world when it was declared to them, and who were honorable men on the earth, are assigned to the terrestrial glory, not the celestial.
There you go.
Not the celestial. So it's not, in fact, a second chance to get the best the Mormon God has for his people. It's actually an opportunity to go to the terrestrial. But if you reject it in the spirit world, let's say you die and you find these spirit missionaries talking to you about Joseph Smith and the restored gospel, and you embrace and you reject it there, I should say, you will end up going to the telestial kingdom, not the terrestrial. Now, again, as I've said many times, the problem I personally have with this whole issue is, here in mortality, we have to embrace the gospel by faith. There are a lot of things that we embrace by faith. Even I, as critical as I am of Mormonism, if I was to die and find out when I wake up in the spirit world that there are spirit missionaries telling me about Joseph Smith, I'm not so stupid that I'm going to say no, because now it makes sense that it must have been true and I was wrong in my mortality. I would be a fool not to embrace it at that time.
And it was meant for the people before the Mormon Church was first established. And that's what the Encyclopedia of Mormonism talks about here in the second paragraph in that entry under Baptism for the Dead. It reads, "The first public affirmation of the ordinance of baptism for the dead in the church was Joseph Smith's funeral sermon for Seymour Brunson in Nauvoo in August 1840. Addressing a widow who had lost a son who had not been baptized, he called the principle glad tidings of great joy, in contrast with the prevailing tradition that all unbaptized are damned. The first baptisms for the dead in modern times were done in the Mississippi River near Nauvoo."
Now, of course, baptisms for the dead must now be performed in Mormon temples. They have a special font that is dedicated just for that purpose. You can no longer be baptized vicariously for the dead in the Mississippi River. That's old stuff now.
But it was meant for people before that time. Joseph Smith did not set that up so that anybody could just get the best Mormonism had to offer.
So what has happened is a lot of Latter-day Saints have seen this, and they have kind of taken it and run with it, and they've made it go into a direction that was really never meant originally. And we're going to talk about more of this tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.